Beloved, you are now tuned in to Three Black Men, a podcast by three black men where we talk about theology, culture, and the world around us. The following content may not be suitable if you ain't real enough. Listener discretion is advised, because real recognize real. Here's the hope when we look familiar.
The Wild Land Within, Cultivating Wholeness Through Spiritual Practice by a good friend of ours, good friend of the podcast, Lisa Cologne DeLay. Yeah. And this book blessed me richly. She actually asked me to help be a part of her release team by reading it. And I went through it, and I wasn't expecting to be blessed and helped in the way that I was, because one of the things that Lisa does in the book, she's theologically trained and has all the academic credentials and everything.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Three Black Men.
I'm Sam.
I'm Trey.
Hey, we're three black men.
Black.
Black. I'm black.
Blacker than we ever been before, man.
Yes. Okay, brothers, welcome back.
What's up with y'all, man? What's going on?
I don't know. I heard a rumor that this is the last episode of season one.
You did.
That's what I heard.
Dang.
Indubitably.
It is. Indubitably. Okay.
It is. Okay. Wow. Y'all. So we made it one whole season.
We did. Thanks for hanging out with us, y'all. We appreciate truly, that.
Truly. So first, we wanted to say thank you to our Patreon supporters. First and foremost, because y'all have made space for us. You have provided.
Absolutely.
For us a space and a table for us to be able to make content that we're proud of. And thank you to all of you. Regardless of your tier, we're thankful. So thank you. Anything y'all want to say to the Patreon supporters first?
Thank you for real. That means a lot, the support, the love. That means a lot that y'all believe in us, that, you know, enough to the point that y'all want to hear from us even more. So I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart, and so do my kids. They appreciate that too.
Truly.
First, give an honor to God, who is the head of my life. I like to say I'm glad to be in there. All right, I'm sorry.
Wow.
In all honesty, I do want to give a special shout out once again to those Patreon supporters. It means the world to know that not only are you listening, but that you believe in us, that you are willing to invest not only your time and your ears in us, but even a few of your dollars. There have been times when my family was able to eat more than noodles because of your generosity. There have been times where I didn't have to go on the clock for Uber Eats and Grubhub because of your generosity, and I don't take that for granted at all. But also, even if you've thought about giving, you didn't have it, because I know this has been a rough season for everybody. We launched this podcast and this Patreon in the middle of a pandemic. So I don't think any less of you if you weren't able to give. If you've just been listening and being fed, thank you for spending this time with us. As we said a couple episodes ago, we do this for us. Like, we have conversations that we're proud of, but the fact that you find value in them, the fact that you have chosen to partake in them, is one of those ways that I know that God is real. Because even when we do something for us, it is for y'all. Like, even if you as white as you can be, even if you out there and you go to church and y'all clapping on 1 and 3 and singing hill songs, if you tuning into this podcast right now and showing love, it tells me that there's something in us that unites us, and that's dope to me.
Yeah.
Truly. Sure. So like, when we started this podcast, we wanted to construct a table. And we wanted to do theology our way. And we wanted to talk about topics that were relevant to us. And we wanted to talk about our culture. We wanted to talk about the world around us. And some of the topics that we may talk about might not seem like theology to you. They might seem irrelevant, but they are very much relevant to us. And even in next season, that we might get into things that might just seem silly to you, but they are conversations that we really are having. But yeah, we wanted to construct a table and sit at that table because we didn't see ourselves at other tables. So rather than complain about it, hey, let's just make our own, right? And so, yeah, so thank you again to all the listeners who have tuned in for these conversations and have big upped us. We would have had the conversations regardless, but it means something that you're here with us, wrestling yeah. with us. Thank you to all those who've left ratings and reviews, who have sent messages.
Thank you. Thank you to y'all. And shame on you if you haven't. There you go. Yeah.
Shame on you. We believe in shame here.
Yeah. And just because I'm petty, whoever left that one star rating, I haven't forgotten about you. A plague on your whole house is
all look, I got say. I got some black Air Force Ones. Oh, and a,
anyway.
And a samurai sword and a anyway, ski mask.
So, so yeah, so thank y'all. Yeah, so more on season one later. Yeah. But thank you.
Thank y'all from the bottom of our hearts, for real. We appreciate y'all.
Yeah. Oh. So we never thought we would have started a podcast together, but here we are at the end of season one, and we're thankful. We're grateful.
Yeah.
So tonight, we're going to have another conversation. And we wanted to talk about our love for reading, reading from the margins. Black men, we do read. and so I want to give a bit of a preface to this. A lot of people see us and they see how much we reference books, both in our social media presence. And they're curious about all the books that we read. And we wanted to have a conversation and bring some of our favorite books to this conversation. And then just get into it. Like, why do we like reading? What benefit does it bring to our lives? And yeah, just talk about our love for reading, right? So yeah. Here we are. Black men, we love to read and how we read, right? So we're gonna jump into that today. All right,
for sure.
Let's go.
So prepare for this conversation. I asked the brothers to bring three titles of books that have impacted them sometime in the past year or two. So, Samuel, what are three books that have impacted you? I know you don't have the physical physical copies.
Yo, I'm gonna tell y'all. Listen, I frequent the digital library, Hoopla, Libby. If you don't, Audible. Kindle, listen, if you do not have the budget for physical books, where there is a will, there is a way. And many libraries have digital copies of these books, and you can either read them. Libby lets you read them in Kindle. Yeah. And you can mark them up, take your notes and stuff, or you can listen to the audiobooks. So where there is a will, there is a way. So I tip that, like, that's just how I roll, right? I have some physical books, but the books that I'm going to use books that I read in 2021. First book was written by Austin Channing Brown, and that is I'm Still Here. That book really, it impacted me a lot because when I listened to her story, I realized a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, I love to hear how you talk about your wife. I'm finna talk about her again. Because that book and her story are kind of similar, right? Like, you know, just how my wife was raised, being around at home, more suburban white community, but then going to grandma's house in the hood and having that dynamic and trying to navigate that and figure that out and being told that she talked white by black family members, things like that. Like, so that really helped me to, disgusting. That really helped me to understand her story more. It helped me to pay attention a little bit more, and not even just with her, but just with black women, period. And to be more intentional in just how I relate to them. So that was a good book for me. Really good book. Other book, Portrait of Jesus by Joseph. His last name, I believe, is Girzone. G-I-R-Z-O-N-E. He's a Catholic priest. Probably like the best book I've ever read on the person of Jesus. I love it. I've read it twice this year. I'm probably fixing to read it again. Just because one of the things that he talks about in there is how he goes around, he talks about Jesus to different seminaries and Christian colleges. And he's always surprised that so many different professors or seminary students come to him and they're like, listen, all of my schooling, all of my years of theological training, none of them really taught us about Jesus. We were taught how to think through the works of the Bible and different people, but we weren't taught about the person of Jesus and to look at his personality and to look at what he did from a humanitarian aspect to see how he relates to us and the marginalized. Wow. And so that that's really helped me to understand that majority of the Christianity we see today is not Christianity at all. I mean, like, think about it. How is it that Jesus was raised in Nazareth? Or, you know, he was raised in Nazareth, right? He comes back there to speak in the temple, and these people are surprised, as if he's not from this place, right? As if they haven't been around him for most of his life growing up, as if they didn't know that he was left in the temple when he was 12. You know what I'm saying? Like, and yeah. All of a sudden, you're surprised at what he's saying. How? Well, maybe it's just that what you think is holy isn't holy. Wow. Your version of righteousness is not righteousness. So, and he gets into that. And so that's really impacted me a lot. That's probably one of the best books I've probably read in my life. As far as like how it's teaching me to interact with Jesus in the Bible. And that's why
drop that title one more time, man, because I'm about to add that to my list right now.
It's called A Portrait of Jesus. And okay. That's why I wanted to use Luke, because after I read this, I went back and I started reading Luke again. And I was like, yo.
Okay. You can use you are the one person. Go ahead and then drop your third one.
I'm not going to use it. The third one is The Spirituals. Hold on. It's by James Cone. I want to quote it correctly. It's this, Kindle, The Spirituals and the Blues. So this book, I ran across on Amazon, and I just listened to a message by Reverend Dr. Otis Moss III. It was a message that he taught at Princeton Theological Seminary. It's actually on their podcast, and he talked about how Black preachers, and specifically Dr. King, used the same method that we would see in R&B or in the blues, right? Soulful music, which is home for Black culture. And so just reading this book has really kind of connected me with, it's really helping me to connect the dots of lamenting, but also how to bring in that there's got to be hope that comes in comes in with that. And if you look at a lot of our songs, like a lot of our Negro spiritual songs, they have that sort of element. And it's all, it trickles throughout our music historically. Like if you look at R&B, if you look into blues, if you look at jazz music, they all sort of follow that same pattern where they sort of take you through this, even if it's just musically, it kind of takes you through this struggle of Black culture. Mm-hmm. And it takes you through this story, and then you find this hope at the end. So that's really been good for me this year too. So
okay, I'll go next.
That you will.
I definitely will on purpose. first, I'm gonna list in my grandmother's house. By Dr. Yolanda Pierce. And I love this book. I read it this year, and I was surprised. I did not know what I was getting into. Like, what I thought it was going to be is not what it was. And this book blessed me just in a multitude of ways. And I felt like the biggest thing for me was that the theology was so rich in this book, but it was so accessible, was the biggest thing. Like, I think it was like, oh, it wasn't heavy, it wasn't burdensome, and it was like in narrative form, which made it so much more digestible. For me, and it was like, man, this book was hidden. So that I'm like, man, yo, that should be a theology textbook for class. Like, hidden. I would rather read that. The next one, this is a treasure that a lot of people don't reference. But this was the best book of 2020 and 2021 for me because
that's a good book.
James Cone, My Soul Looks Back. I think most people say The Crossing the Lynching Tree as the book that they give people related to James Cone's theology. Mm-hmm. But My Soul Looks Back. This is the book for me. I recommend, this is Robert. I recommend My Soul Looks Back over The Crossing the Lynching Tree. Don't hurt me. Because for me, the way that he lays out his life story and how he came to arrive at Black theology, and he lays out even places where he fell short, mm-hmm. Even where he couldn't be the, like his theology couldn't be the fullness of what he wanted. The racism that he encountered in seminary, it's just like clear, like, Black theology is like, duh. So
did you kind of get the sense of maybe like My Soul Looks Back kind of maybe his last will and testament? Because when I read it, I kind of felt like that. Yeah. Because it was like you said, it was like he was able to look back and see like, okay, here's where I messed up. Here's where I didn't. Here's the racism. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I'm giving y'all everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's kind of like, I feel like if you could read this and think the classic critique that he gets is that, oh, he's a heretic. Oh, he doesn't know theology. If you read this and you don't think Dr. Cone is worth reading, then okay, then I don't need to listen to you. Like that, it's just that clear because, okay, y'all, this man knew what he was talking about. And he admits so much of where he failed and he was reaching for better. So yeah, My Soul Looks Back. And then the last one, it was such a good one. Listening for God by Renita Weems. Man, this blessed me. And I'm still sitting with the parts of it right now. I'm still sitting with parts of it, most of it, but the parts with her mom are really still sitting with me to this day. Her vulnerability, It's called Listening for God, A Minister's Journey Through Silence and Doubt. And I think you would assume that you have to be in ministry to read it. But to me, it's the book. It's the book that I would recommend on deconstruction right now. Like, I wouldn't recommend any other book besides that right now. Yeah. So that's me.
That's our praise. Hey. All right, so I'm at a distinct disadvantage in going last. Number one, because I get most of my reading list from these two Negroes. Number two, because I specifically asked what books people was about to use, so it wouldn't be no overlapping. And people wanted to play hardball, and I answered no questions. So, of course, we got overlap now.
Who is people? And then,
I'm not going to name no names. I'm just going to say it wasn't Sam Gay. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to name no names, though. It just wasn't Sam Gay. It's all I'm at liberty to say right now, because I don't feel like being messed right there. But I guess I will start my first book. It's in my grandmother's house by Yolanda Pierce.
I feel terrible. I'm the only one of us three that has not read that. I'm going to read that.
Bro,
I got a copy for you, bro. I got... Like a fresh.
Yeah, he said he got you. Yeah, he said he got you.
I want to support her because I like her.
No, yeah. This is I bought this.
Oh, okay. I was like, I want to support her. I like her.
But that jump, first and foremost, it puts so many of the dopest cookies on like the bottom shelf. So like anybody, like you don't have to be theologically trained to read none of it. And then there's so many pieces of overlap. Like I started reading it and immediately I bought a copy and sent it to my sister up in Virginia. I'm like, yo, you need to read this. And the very next day she's like, oh my gosh, this book, like it's bringing back so many memories. And there's so many places that feel like, yo, this is me. Like this is, I can share in this story. Even not being a Black woman who happens to be a dean at the Howard School of Divinity. Like there's so many parts that are reassuring that, wow, I'm not alone in this. Like I'm not the only person who feels that way, particularly with regards to people who may have come up in a faith or tradition where I don't want to use the term outgrown because that sounds kind of like patronizing. A faith that you've maybe evolved from in certain senses. And she speaks about that faith while still holding a reverence for it, right? And still honoring what the foundation that laid for her and not denigrating anybody who might still be there. But then also talking about like parts where she's moved on and how her life has informed her theology. And that is life-giving. So that one is a dope one. And I'm going to stop talking about it because we already talked about it. Thanks, Rob. Love you, bro. In Jesus' name.
Love you. Go out to your next.
Yeah. My next book is The Wild Land Within, Cultivating Wholeness Through Spiritual Practice by a good friend of ours, good friend of the podcast, Lisa Cologne DeLay. And this book blessed me richly. She actually asked me to help be a part of her release team by reading it. And I went through it and I wasn't expecting to be blessed and helped in the way that I was, because one of the things that Lisa does in the book, she's theologically trained and has all the academic credentials and everything, but she's also what's known as spiritual direction, like people who go in and coach you through certain things. And what she does is brings a lot of aspects of different theologians, from liberation theologians to mystics and the desert elders and the Eastern Orthodox tradition, and examines things that they've used in their faith. Because a lot of times, particularly here in America, if you came up in an evangelical tradition, we're relatively ignorant to a lot of different expressions of Christianity throughout history, right? Like ones that are centuries older than our own tradition, right? And she goes into some of those things, not in a way that's like discomforting or jarring, but like, you know, if you incorporated some of this, you would learn different ways of praying and connecting with God. And that helped me, in a major way. Like I've changed some of my devotional habits. I've been able to ask different questions of myself and God, and even found peace in not getting answers right away. So that book is a dope one, The Wild Land Within by Lisa Cologne DeLay. I recognize that one as one that is worthy of reading by a whole bunch of different people. And my final one, had to, I'm cheating a little bit. It's an anthology of poetry because I incorporate reading poetry into my like daily devotions. But this one is the African American poetry 250 years of struggling song, and the editor is Kevin Young. But it's a book of African American poets, starting from like Phyllis Wheatley, who is often acknowledged as like the very first one, and it takes you through like in relatively chronological order. And what I love about it so much is that it shows the very rich variety of what it means to be Black in America, right? Especially when we start talking about Phyllis Wheatley's and stuff, it's not a book of poems about slavery. It's not a book of poems about Jim Crow. Like, some of that stuff is incorporated in there, but there's also poems about love. There's poems about pain. There's poems about death. You get into somebody like Lawrence Dunbar, and he writes poems in the Negro dialect or whatever, right? And it's the richness of Black art, and it's like, wow, we've been here, we've been beautiful, and just incorporating that into my days has been really helpful for me. So that's my three books right there.
I love that. Let me ask you guys a question, and feel free to jump in wherever. So people see us, they see us reading. We shared some of the titles that mean a lot to us. Mm-hmm. Why is it important for us to read? Why are we reading all these books like this? Yeah, why?
Yo, I'll say this, that when I first started preaching, which I guess was maybe about 7-8 years ago, I was taught that by my pastor, Dr. Jeremy Upton, that a call to preach is a call to read, right? And I didn't really get the fullness of what that meant. But that's also not really relevant to this discussion, because what I understood when I finally started like understanding more of what he meant in terms of a call to preach being a call to read, and currently continuously being engaged with different viewpoints and different inputs of not just information but perspectives and all that stuff, when I took that seriously, I recognized how it made me not just a better preacher but a better theologian and a better thinker and a better minister in general, and a better, like, my pastoral heart improved when I did that. Because at the end of the day, right, one of the things that I would almost call it a disadvantage of having the Bible in the form that we have it, right? Because the printing press is a relatively recent invention in the grand scheme of history, and people weren't always reading it. It was passed down orally and communally, right? And we kind of lose a bit of that aspect in the way that we now have it, and just turn the pages, or I can look it up anytime. The stories are shared a little bit differently. And when you allow yourself to engage with different texts, you're reminded a bit of the different thoughts and worldviews and perspectives that there are in the world, out of which context these things emerge, right? Like, the Bible, it wasn't something that just happened magically. They all came out of context. So reading for me is usually about just understanding perspectives and context from as different people, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else could be added to that, but I mean, I'm not a preacher anymore, but I read for the sake of you ever get to know somebody, or you see somebody from afar, and there are certain things that you like about them, right? And you're like, man, I really respect this about them. Their story is what give context to the person that they are today, right? Mm-hmm. And so I read because I'm after that, right? Yeah. So my perspective, I don't think, is necessarily the only right perspective. There's a lot I don't know. So like Trey said, just gaining other perspectives, but also just wanting to expand as a person, right? Read, the more that I read other people's perspective, the more that I also respect other people's perspective. And I think that's also created, I think reading has also made me a better listener. Especially, I mean, cause I listen to audiobooks too. So
yeah,
I mix it up. I think it's made me a better listener. But just, I want to be a well-rounded individual. I want to be comfortable communicating various things that I feel or sense or see in various forms. And one of the, I mean, there's a couple of highlights from my experience at my conservative Bible college that I attended. And one of them was we had to read a book in our communications class, and it was called Why Johnny Can't Preach. And another one was Why Johnny Can't Write. And essentially this pastor wrote a book saying like, pastors can't preach because they don't read. People don't write well because they don't read. And so I want to expand in different areas. And honestly, reading takes me on a journey sometimes, whether it be theological, whether it be sometimes like nonfiction or fiction. Sometimes yeah. I find theological truths sprinkled into those because people pour themselves into those. Yeah. And so I like getting that. I like when I get that. So hearing about In My Grandmother's House makes me kind of excited to read that because I love when people pour themselves into their writing. Yeah. I love that because it makes it relatable. It makes it like I can connect to it. And so I love being able to connect with people in their writing. So yeah, and that I'm after too. I love that. So.
Yeah, you're gonna get that in that book. I say this often, and I write this often, that words are pathways and bridges to understanding. And
that's deep, bro. I like that.
Thank you. And for me, that reading is that for me. You know, it's this collection of words that is that helps me go on this journey to understanding, whether that's this author's attempt to get me to connect to either this fictional realm that they have constructed for me or this author's narrative that they're giving me about their life or this theological truth that they are wanting me to understand. And, you know, so I'm trying to understand, I'm trying to go on this journey, right? And if I'm honest, I read, let me back up. I don't consider myself a preacher. I also resisted going to any type of graduate level school, seminary level education, because I hated the elitism that I saw there. And I hated it because when I survey my community, I see the average person who is attempting to navigate the world, and those people will never be called theologians by the academy. They will never be called great by, you know, people in Ivy League schools. They'll never be called thinkers by people in the halls of power. And I mourned my decision eventually to go to school because I felt like I was betraying them. And I've always read because I felt like it was my pathway forward. Like whether I ever got a degree that other people recognized, I felt like books were my weapons of power, right? Like, I will never be smart to the world, but hey, I am knowledgeable. And I may never have a degree that other people think is awesome. I may never be called Dr. Monson by anyone else, but I know that I am well-read and that I am an astute observer. And so for me, books are everything to me. And I think that books, especially for those in the margins, can be a game changer and they can be an equalizer. And especially in our day and age when books can be given, like Sam said, through the local library and through these apps for free or relatively cheap. For those people who look like me, who may never get the opportunity to go to school, books are everything. And for me, I think they give the benefit of equalizing out for the average, you know, mom or the average brother who may not ever get into seminary. I think they give them access to be called a theologian because they are doing the rigorous study. They're pontificating about God. And they, you know, and so for me, for years, I've been reading theological textbooks, but no one gave me the title of theologian. I appropriated it for myself. And so I've been doing this exegetical study, but I'm not waiting for y'all to call me nothing. I'm not waiting for someone to say, oh, Robert's really great. I don't give a what y'all call me. And so for me, I guess if someone were to say, why do you read? I would say as a poor youth, it's the only means that I had to pull myself up that was given to me. And I think when I look around my community, that's all that we've been given. So for me, books are everything. Yeah, they mean a lot to me. So when you see me reading, I think I'm making up for all that wasn't given to me as far as opportunities, money, a stress-free life, as a youth that I did not have. You know, like I would have loved the opportunities as a youth that other people were given, but I didn't have those.
Wow.
Yeah, man. That's I don't have nothing to say. I didn't mean
to make that heavy, but for me, books are so important, and I think I interface with them so differently because I remember what it was like to be poor and Black and not be able to afford books. Right. And so when you see me now, like engorging myself on books, I'm making up for lost time. Right. You know?
Yeah.
That's crazy because so for me, right, I never thought of it that way. Because for me, it was different. Like, I mean, Rob, me and you talked the other day, I told you like it, things came easy for me, right? Like school always came easy for me. So I literally never had to read unless it was like a book report. Like I never had to study. I could just pay attention in class and I would literally ace every test, kill homework. And like if I had a bad grade, it's because I refused to read. I refused to read what was like the necessary readings. But that was like growing up. But now, I find myself more so identifying with what you're saying, Robert, where I'm finding like, I don't want to say I'm finding my livelihood there, but reading is important. If my books were taken, like if the ability to read or to listen to audiobooks, like if I were not able to read, that would be a really tough time for me. because I like books that much now, and I'm finding, like, I don't really watch TV. Like, we're paying for streaming services that other people are using, because I'm literally I read.
You black.
I read, I write, and record podcast. Like, this is like my life, right? I like reading for now. I'm finding, for similar reasons, Rob, that you, similar reasons, meaning like internally, you in similar internal reasons, that you read, like, there's a connection there. And I'm grateful for it. And you know what, Rob, you said something before, and you say it from time to time. I hear you say it, especially to me, when you were talking about, the not having the degrees and stuff like that, like, who makes the standard of what intelligent is, right? Like, I don't necessarily need to be intelligent by somebody else's standards. I'm comfortable in my own bubble, right? Like, nobody has to ever acknowledge me as intelligent. It's fine. You know what I'm saying? I got my books. You know what I'm saying? I got my boys. We do a podcast. We kick the Willy Bobo. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with that. Right? Like, that means a lot to me. That means enough to me that I'm cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm hearing y'all right now, and something just clicked for me, right? Because I read a lot. And one of the things that I had to do, one of the reasons I journal is I also keep a reading log in my journal. Like, literally, if I just read a chapter or something, I jot it down in my journal before my daily reflections. But it's also like dry seasons where I'm not reading much of anything. There's other times I'm reading 4 or 5 books at a time. But just now, when you talking about how, like, in school it was easy for you, and all the time you really had to read was when you had a book report. And I just realized that that's like one of the times I was least likely to read. Because, like, to this very day, I'm so serious, to this very day, I don't want you telling me what to read. Like, for an authority figure, a teacher, or whatever, I don't like it. Like, and there's times where I'll sit there and I'll have a book that I got for class and I wouldn't touch it the whole time. And maybe sometimes years later, I'll come back and I'll read it. I'm like, okay, I see what's going on there. And I just realized that what I do is I view books as a means of enlightenment, of accessing information, of having your worldview sculpted. And I don't like somebody else having the controls to that. Like, I don't like somebody else directing and steering where my mind goes.
Right. Let me challenge my worldview how I want to on my own terms.
Precisely. Because even when I'm listening to y'all talk about, like, oh, who's to say, like, who's a scholar, who gets to be called a theologian, or whatever. Like, why are we consider this one a classic and not this one? Why is that? Why am I studying all of this in school but none of this? And that always upsets me. I don't like feeling as though I'm a passenger in the journey of my own destiny, right? Like, I don't like that. So a lot of times for me, what books do is they give me the power to decide which bounds of my mind will be pressed and expanded upon. And that's important to me because there's a lot of people who view things very strongly because that is what they know. And that's not to call anybody, like, ignorant in a malicious way or anything or derogatorily. Sometimes we are very, very well read in one perspective, and that makes us feel as though we are an expert in more than that perspective, because the fact that there might be more than that perspective is not something that we've entertained too much. And a lot of that's because we are fed perspective sometimes, right? So when you put me in a library and I'm curious about XYZ today, I think I'll read on this. I get to take a little bit more control on that. And that's why, like, it's, I found a special joy in reading womanist theologians, right? That's why when I read a book from somebody like Lisa Cologne DeLay, who's read on all of these other Desert Fathers and stuff, it takes me out of the bubble that I grew up in that was, even if I only grew up in Black church spaces, a lot of that was driven by what white evangelicals told us was orthodox.
Right.
If I'm making any sense right now.
Yeah.
So books are my way of my key to being able to take that steering wheel back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like, as I'm listening to you, two things for me, books have served to be an escape vehicle for me. You know, also what I want to add here is for those who are listening, and if you grew up as a child of trauma in any way, you know that books have been an escape vehicle for you. For me, reading fiction was that my whole life, and it still remains to this day. That tool that helps me escape in a good way. That was a survival mechanism for me. Growing up as a child of trauma, trauma all around me, my imagination helped me escape the horrors that I endured. And there would be no Robert today if my imagination wasn't fostered through books.
Absolutely.
You know,
and honestly, yeah, I can tell ahead. That a lot of y'all's imagination has not been fostered through books. So yeah. What he's saying is real right now.
Yeah, and it really helped me. And some people, you know, it's funny that I hear people, especially in the Christian tradition, like demonize imagination and say, oh, y'all just trying to escape. Be quiet. Be quiet, because do you know that imagination and escapism is sometimes the only thing that keeps people breathing? It's the only thing that keeps people surviving. And unless you have a better way, be quiet. Literally, be quiet. Surviving was the only thing that got Robert here today, breathing and thriving now. I needed other tools to help me thrive, but my imagination through fiction was the mechanism, you know, that helped contain me enough to keep me sane, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing that I was thinking as you guys were talking is simply, if I could do one thing for people, you know, as they're going throughout their life, is I want to give everybody the ability, especially in the Christian walk, to know, like, you know, you can be a theologian too. You know, we've said it before on the show, like through books, like y'all can do it. You know, Sam said, I'm not a preacher. You know, Trey is a preacher, right? And Sam's not, but like y'all reading, doing the work, like thinking deeply, like I think sometimes we wait for someone else from the outside to bequeath us with titles. But like the thing that I love about books is I don't need to wait on somebody else. I could get all the thinking myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And seriously, that's what I love about it. And that's why for years I was like, I do not need to go to school because I'm doing the work myself. I do not need to pay no tuition for it.
Yeah.
Yo, you said something real important about imagination just now, and about how sometimes it's the only way some people can survive. And I think in a major way, okay, and I don't mean to like minimize this at all, because I know you meant that in a very real sense to you and your story and some of the things you've had to endure. But even in a larger human sense, imagination is a critical ingredient to the world as we know it in every sense. And I don't care if you're religious or spiritual. I do not care if you're not. The only, like, imagination is key to knowledge and understanding, because the hypothesis that we use to test the world around us, whether that be via empirical evidence, whether that be theological propositions, all of that requires imagination. We don't know what questions to ask until we can imagine things that are beyond our current understanding, right? Even if you claim that the Bible is inspired, inerrant, and infallible, the only word of God that we need. Even if that is your spell, you have imagination to thank for that, for the simple fact that many people believe that the first five books of the Bible were authored by one man named Moses. Hundreds and hundreds of years of history happened before he was born, meaning that he had to have something in his mind telling him that a God beyond him could communicate to him truths that transcended himself and his knowing and his understanding. I say all of that to say that there is something that happens, even if it's not a theological writing or overtly theological writing, even if it's not something that you're reading for the sake of knowledge, something happens when your imagination is stimulated that opens you to possibilities that you had not yet entertained. And I think that's an important thing, because like a lot of people, there's theological books and everything. I think that if you, there's a saying I use sometimes, I like to look for God in the crevices, right? Because I think that even people who don't believe in God, like you can learn something about theology from how they write and how they view people and how they view society, because all of that says a lot about how we view creation, whether or not you believe in a creator. I think that there's an element that can be gleaned from that. And I think that it's a shame that a lot of us get to a point where imagination almost seems childish to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
When imagination is a gift from God. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you guys one last question, and then we're going to talk about our break in season two. Really quick, give a pointer or two that you found has helped you or you would like to give to the audience on how to read well, read better, or what has helped you. So, pow, pow.
Honestly, just read, man. Honestly, like, give yourself grace. It's not a competition. You ain't got to compete with us. You don't have to read as many books as look, I don't feel like I read anywhere near the amount of books that Rob and Trey read. and Trey looking at me, maybe in this season with Trey, but nah, usually nah. I give yourself grace and just read. Like you read what you can and just be consistent with it. You know what I'm saying? If you forget or you don't feel like it, try it anyway.
Yeah, I think go ahead.
I was gonna say, I don't want people to feel like, oh, well, they read that, like that. No, don't compare yourself to me or to Rob or to Trey, because I did that. And I'm going to tell you something, that's a miserable life. It's a miserable path. Walk your own path, man. Just read.
Yeah, I'm hoping that as you're listening to us in this episode, my hope is that you feel inspired to read more than discouraged in your reading. And so yes. Hear that from us, that our hope is very much that as we're having our own conversation, you can glean something for your own life, but comparison is the thief of joy. So, right. So like
what he said,
yeah. Don't try to like hear anything else other than this is our own organic talk. Be inspired to do whatever you need to do in your own life. Right. So I'll say for me, it helps me. One, I read a couple books at once. At this point in my life, I never would have thought that I'd be that guy, but I always read a fictional book. I'm always reading I just read a few pages a day from a couple different books. I at least read one fictional book and one nonfiction book. That's bare minimum. The fictional book, just because I want to keep my imagination station active. And then, and that helps me not take myself so seriously. It's hard to take yourself seriously when you're reading a Star Wars book. or a Harry Potter book. Like, and it helps you not be a cornball on the on social media when you reading Harry Potter, okay? Right? Like, you argue less and your skin is moisturized when you read fiction, okay? And then lastly, with
Rob's skin regimen includes books.
Just it does, and you live longer, I promise. And your teeth is whitened.
There you go.
I promise your wife will love you. No, and
your breath smell better.
Yeah, I promise it's impossible to be funky reading fiction every day. And then I just read a little bit every morning from one of my books. So I don't try to blast through books. I read a little bit in the morning and a little bit at night. And if I can squeeze in something else, that's great. But at least I know, at the bare minimum, I just try to read a page or two in the morning. So y'all might think, dang, he's going in. No. My brother, I got work to do too. So I read a couple pages in the morning and a couple pages in the evening. If I can squeeze in anything else, then that's extra. So that's
Hold on. Cause we gotta, I have to ask this question for me. Go ahead. I'm asking for me. What's a couple pages? Because, you know, people be like, a couple, and I'm like, okay, so if you see a couple walking down the street, you usually see two people.
No, so for me, it literally depends on where I'm at. So the habit for me is the time.
Okay.
Is the time period. So
you're focused more on actually doing it.
Yeah, so you know Robert is going to read in the morning and in the evening. Now, literally, it's as little as one page in the morning or in the evening. So you're like, oh, dang, I know Rob probably reading 10 pages. Lies. Or sometimes it's a paragraph.
Yo, that's really a good starting point, seriously, for anybody that's struggling to read. That way, that building that discipline to actually just read is a really good starting point.
Yeah, and sometimes for me, it's like sometimes I have a lot going on. Sometimes I deal with chronic illness, and the reality is physically I can't. And something I like to do, I just might not physically be able to do a lot of it. So I'm not about to kill myself to do, hey, player, I can do a page today. So I like doing this. I just, this is not five pages. It's, here we go.
You got it, then you got it today.
Yeah.
What you got, Trey?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm very much different than Rob in that regard. And this, me and Rob have joked about this before too, because I'm usually the type to blast the books. Like, one of the reasons I had it start journaling or keeping a reading log in my journal is because there's times, especially when I'm not at school, where I'll be reading four or five books at a time for pleasure, and not like one of them people where it's gonna take me a few months. Like, nah, all of them will be done in a couple of weeks. True. And that's not to like brag or nothing, but it's to say that you do what works for you. Because for me, I know, and there are times, okay, I'll have a book that I'm not really feeling. And in that regard, I'm kind of a completionist, because there are people who are like, oh, give yourself permission to put down a bad book. And that's dope. And sometimes I'll give myself permission to pause from a bad book, but then like months down the line, I'll see it with the bookmark still in it, sitting on a bookshelf. I'm like, oh man, and I'll get to it eventually. And I mean that wholeheartedly. So it's times when
I put down the bad book, y'all, just so you know, that's where Rob is. The book, I take the bookmark all the way out, player. I put it out of this misery and put it home to pasture, so y'all know.
But the whole thing is for me, it's a matter of a principle I'm trying to adhere to, where I do not read books I disagree with, because I do not know if I disagree with a book until I read it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a mentality I'm trying to adapt in the sense that, like, people are like, oh, read some books you disagree with. And I'm like, well, if you read books that you disagree with, you've already made a decision by the time you get there. Now, that being said, hold on, time out, Rob. I see you shaking your head. I see you doing the LL Cool J. I'm not saying, I'm not about to be out here reading no I'm not going to say no names. But it's a bunch of books that I'm just not going to, because you've already proven yourself goofy. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like if you're goofy in real life,
no.
Wait, Trey, is that why you finished that one book? Because you saw that?
Stop it. That book won't even... All right, stop. I know what you're talking about. We're not doing it. But my thing is, it's not about going out and seeking goofy people to read their books. Like, nah, I'm not about lining goofy pockets neither. But my whole thing is, there's times where there'll be a book that I set out to read, right? Not knowing I'll be disagreeing with it. And I'm like, oh man, something about this feels funky. And I'll ride it out to be able to at least try to understand where they're coming from. No, not even that. But I want to, okay, well, where are you coming from? And this is me. This is me. This is how I operate. And that's not to say that everybody should. It's to say there's like a whole lot of different ways to approach this, right? I don't even remember what I was talking about originally. You're supposed to be coming up with two tips, right?
Yeah. So just give us one tip, brother. Give us one tip.
Yeah, that was my one tip about pacing. And that there's a lot of times I blow through things, but the one time I'll stumble is if I'm like, oh, I'm not really feeling this book, but I'll try to, I guess it's a benefit of the doubt type thing I do in trying to finish books, even if I'm not really feeling it, you know?
Well, what you said about how you don't read a book that you don't disagree with, I felt like that was a really good tip. Get a book a chance, because I'm gonna tell you something. I was a part of a group of people that people went out and literally bought, you know, those little signature stamps where people get their signature and they literally just stamp it. It said heresy for research purposes only.
Yeah, you talked about that.
Would read the book and literally stamp it. Like, and I'm like, bro, you bought it knowing that you disagreed with it. So you read it from, you had bad intentions to begin with. So I think that's giving a book a chance is a good one.
It's true. Okay, well, amen and amen. So here we are again at the end of season one. We wrapped up and really quick. So we are going to be taking some time off, some needed time off to work on some creative endeavors, some things that we will be talking about with our Patreon team. So we will be taking some time off and reloading for season two and an undetermined amount of time, but
it ain't gonna be forever though.
It's not gonna be forever ever. Any thoughts before we close?
Y'all can still catch us on Twitter, me at SamG0727.
Yeah, y'all can still catch us.
I'm at Pastor305 on Twitter.
It's true. You could also find out more of the information of what we'll be doing.
Can you give the people your Twitter first?
He
trying to keep it low. It's Robert J. Monson. Robert J. Monson.
I don't really want y'all all in my Kool-Aid. But what y'all can do is y'all can sign up for our Patreon.
That part.
If y'all want to find out more information about what we'll be doing in this break.
We like that.
And
the sooner also, the better, because we got a Patreon meetup happening soon.
On April 24th.
Truly. Right? Yep. 24th. And we're going to be announcing some good news there.
Or is it? I'm just playing.
Yeah, it's definitely good news.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting news. And also, our Patreon members are going to be getting some good, fresh content during this break. I'm just saying, I can't check tell y'all out what to do. But if y'all want more content, y'all can sign up for that Patreon.
At patreon.com/3blackmen, spelled out, baby.
Three blizzle mizzle.
Amen. I mean, and also, if you go to our Twitter account, you can find our merch.
New mugs, shirts.
It's so much merch. It's dope.
Magic mugs.
Magic mugs. They change colors when you put hot stuff in them, dog. Like, what's going on? What is better than that? So y'all can follow us on Twitter at Three Black Men, but the three not spelled out there. It's just the number three Black Men. Click that link in the bio, man. We got merch.
All right. Well, bless y'all. Thank y'all for listening to season one. Hey.
It's been real. We now have a Patreon, which I want to encourage each and every one of y'all to visit at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Think through it, pray through it, ask God if he would have you partake in this work that we're doing, because on top of some bonus content here, we have some blog pieces going up. There's going to be some devotional content coming out, and I want to encourage you guys to visit that Patreon, patreon.com/threeblackmen.
Go watch my kids ruin my videos.
Go ahead, watch them. Them babies ain't ruin nothing, man. Matter of fact, there's more people going to sign up to see them babies. How about that, bro?